I put in the bulletin Acts chapter 26. If you would find that in your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 26. Truth be told, I wanted to put in the bulletin the whole book of Acts, but space was just a little bit limiting, so I put in there Acts chapter 26. I'm excited to preach to you today the message on the very first Sunday of the new year, and I confess to you that I have a message today that I know that God has placed on my heart. It's a message that I've asked Him to enable me to preach. It's a message that I would confess at the beginning is not a safe message for you today. It's not intended to be a safe message for Plantation Baptist Church. It's intended today to be a stirring message for Plantation Baptist Church. And I've asked God to enable this message to be a motivating and a theme and a drive and a direction for our church for the year 2016. I'm excited about the new year. I'm glad 2015 has come and gone. For me personally and our family, 2015 was not necessarily the greatest year that we ever had. You may be like me. We suffered tremendously in 2015. We had a lot of deaths in our family, a lot of things. My wife's dad died. We are glad 2015 is behind us. Looking back, I would join with you, and I could testify the same as you can, though, that our God is faithful. Amen. And based on that, we look forward to 2016, trusting His faithfulness and His leadership in our lives. And so I'm preaching a message today that I know God gave me. It's a message today that I'm passionate about. I thought I was going to be able to preach the whole message this morning, but I found out in the 8:30 service that I'm going to have to preach half of it this week, half of it next week. And so we find the title of the message in the bulletin, and it's a one-word title. And I believe it's a title that I hope will stick with you, not only just today, but as we move into the future. Now, I'm preaching a message today entitled, People. People. I wanted to entitle it, People, People, People. But you can't read tone on paper. So I just simply entitled it, People. God has impressed upon my heart as your pastor, and impressing upon me is for our church, people. It's fitting that this message that God would have for us would end at, or would follow the ending of the book of Matthew. 2 years we spent in the book of Matthew looking at the person of Christ from His birth to His death, burial, resurrection, and the Great Commission to the church. When you read Matthew, Matthew is one of what we call four synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is how your Bible reads if you were to read it page by page. However, it is within right or within order there. You could read Matthew and go right to Acts. You could read the book of Mark and go right to the book of Acts. You could read Luke and then go right to the book of Acts. Or you could read John and go right to the book of Acts. All four Gospels deal with the person of Christ and the life of Christ. And then all four of them individually are designed to lead us right into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a very important book in the Bible. It's a very difficult book in the Bible. You must be very careful about getting your theology solely from the book of Acts, because it's a transition out of Judaism into the church. It's a transition of that time when the Spirit of God came and dwelt God's people and made His abode now in the hearts of God's people. And so a lot of miraculous things are happening. A lot of signs are happening in the Jewish nation and as it spreads forth into the Gentiles. And all of these are pointing to the fact that we serve a risen Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a dynamic book, but it can be dangerous if it is taken out of context. But each of the Gospels is designed to lead us into the book of Acts. Why, Pastor, is the book of Acts so important? Because in the book of Acts, you have what some people call the beginning or the empowering of the church. It happens in Acts chapter 2. It's called the day of Pentecost. That's when the Spirit of God comes and indwells God's people. From Acts chapter 2 all the way through the end of the book, God's people, from the apostles and the disciples, begin to spread out throughout the known world at that time. And as they're spreading out through the known world, they're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And so as you get into Acts chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, those are the events and the founding of churches that you read about later. So when you open your Bible, and after the book of Acts, you have the book of Romans, then you have 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which is the church at Corinth, founded in the book of Acts. Let's see, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, help me now. Galatians, the church at Galatia. Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Philippians, the church at Philippi. Colossians, which Paul never got to. And then you go into Thessalonica. Then you have Timothy, and then you have these Titus, these men that were working at that time. And so after the book of Acts, the rest of the New Testament is really just the individualization of what happened in the book of Acts as the gospel is spreading through the known world. Fabulous and wonderful book. As you read the book of Acts, you will find that the word people is mentioned approximately 70 times in the book of Acts. It's mentioned more in the book of Acts than any other book in the New Testament. And when you begin to read from chapter 2 all the way through, you read people, 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 people. Some 70 times we get the word people. Why, Pastor, would the word people be so used in the book of Acts? Well, I have news for you. The word is used so much because God loves people. God loves people. And because God loves people, God's church should love people. I am afraid that as we move toward the coming of the Lord, and as we move toward the end of the age in which we are in, and as we move forward into what we call today the church of the living Lord, that there is becoming not a deeper love for people, but a deeper loathing for people. Pastor, I am not a people person. Well, I got news for you. Our God's a people God. Pastor, people annoy me. Well, you're a people. You make your own application there. Pastor, I try to get as far away from people. I got people problems. People drive me nuts. People get on my last nerve, and people listen. I just want to go somewhere where there aren't any people. I found out there's no place in the world where there's not people. People everywhere. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, and you as a member of the body of Christ, and as the church of God, you have a responsibility to people. And this has been driven home in your pastor's heart, especially this Christmas season, as I've stood on the property and watched thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to the property of Plantation Baptist Church. And God has just begun to smote my heart for people. And I'm beginning to think that there needs to be a focus and an emphasis on the church today for people. And you say, Pastor, why would we have such a burden for people? Because when we boil it all down, the only thing that's eternal are people. People. Man, we spend our lives going after our dreams and after our goals. And we learned last week, man, dreams don't always happen within our timetable. And we build our houses, and we have our nest eggs, and we have our legacies, and we have our things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but none of that goes with you, buddy. The only thing we can take with us are people. And I got news for you. A life void of influence and effect with people is a boring, empty life. We try to get away and be by ourselves, but we were not created to be by ourselves. We were created to be social. We were created to need fellowship. We were created to need people. But Pastor, people are mean. They're nasty. They hurt. I've been vulnerable. They've stabbed me in the back. They've betrayed me. They've said all these awful things. Yeah, and that's why I said the message is not safe. Because if we as a church begin to make an emphasis on people, we do begin to open ourselves up to be vulnerable. But I got news for you. People are worth it. The souls of men and women are worth your vulnerability. Can I get a witness to that statement? People. There's two types of people in the world. Yeah, Pastor. The haves and the have-nots. Nope. Democrats and Republicans? Nope. Well, the citizen and the immigrant? Nope. The legal and the illegal? Nope. The rich and the poor? Nope. The one side and the other? Nope. The homo and the hetero? Nope. Nope. There's two types of people. There's the unsaved and the saved. There's the sinner and there's the saint. There's the lost person and there's the found person. There's the worldly person and there's the Christian person. There's only two types of people in the world. You say, Pastor, the world is very complex to me. You want to simplify the world? Begin to look at people the way that God looks at people. Two types of people, the unsaved or the saved. You see, it's not perplexing if your neighbor acts like a fool or if your neighbor entreats upon you or if your neighbor abuses you or if your neighbor does certain things. If your neighbor's not a Christian, he's going to live like a non-Christian. Where we find perplexity in the two groups of people is when God's people don't live like God's people. There's perplexity there. But my friends, listen, we have a responsibility to people. Now, I want to say this. You have a responsibility for being a member of Plantation Baptist Church. It is not safe to be a member of this church. And all God's people left. It's not. Pastor, I hate South Florida. I can't wait to get out of South Florida. Okay, but one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account for the privilege to live in South Florida. One day you are going to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account for the privilege to be part of Plantation Baptist Church. Pastor, why do you call this a privilege? Because you and I live in a place where there is people everywhere. And God has chosen to take Nick and to take Malcolm and to take Joe and Claudia and Peter. And God has chosen to take you. And God could have allowed you to live anywhere in the world. And God put you in Broward County. Or if you're the Neelys, Miami-Dade County. No, Pastor, my job brought me here. No, God brought you here. No, Pastor, I just happened to be born here. No, God let you be born here. Now listen, I'm from northern Michigan. I'm from a little town of 800 people. My wife is from a little town of 246 people. We checked while we were there last summer. 246, 800. We had more people, almost as many people here at Christmas Eve as I grew up in my little town. How in the world does God reach all the way up into northern Michigan and take two young kids out of those little small villages and bring them down and stick them in South Florida? I don't know, but I thank him that he did that. And in doing that, God has placed us in a tremendous privilege setting. Why? Because you and I have the opportunity to be involved in the lives of people. And I'm going to tell you something. The day in which we live, people need the Lord. And how are they going to hear about the Lord? Through the church of Christ. And so I want 2016 to be a year. And I'm leading our church. I know it's dangerous. I know it's not safe. But I'm leading us to be captivated and driven and focused on people. Both people groups, the unsaved and then the saved. So I'm going to preach you a message this morning on how we relate as a church to the unsaved. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach you a message on how we relate to one another. And I will say this to our church. I do believe that the best days of Plantation Baptist Church are ahead of us. Okay? We're not the perfect church, and we're not the only church in South Florida, but we are one of the churches that believe the Word of God. Okay? We are one of the churches that love the Lord Jesus. We are one of the churches that is preaching the gospel. And God is going to use that. And so we need to understand our responsibility to not only influence and to affect, but to reach out to people. And I want you to be dominated by people this year. And those that need the Lord, those that already know the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of effect we would have as a church on our community if we would just be dominated on people? If we would love people the way God loved people, witness to people with the fervency that God has, if we would care for one another. Listen, the people came to see Christmas lights twinkle and to hear music. Imagine what they would come if they saw the life of Christ in God's people. And so we have a responsibility to people. You have a responsibility to people. Pastor, I hate people. Then you don't love God. If you hate people, you don't love God. Pastor, I don't want anything to do with people. Then you're not walking with God. If you don't understand the love of God for people and you're not actively involved in the reaching out for people, then you're not actively involved in the ministry of God. And this isn't just something a preacher is going to do. This is something that should be done by all of us. Amen? All right, so let's look and see what the responsibility is. If you go to Acts chapter 2, I'll show you. We're going to make our way all the way through this book, Acts chapter 2. I had you go to 26, I know, but let's go to Acts chapter 2. I got news for you, too. It's a long message today. I thought I would slip that in there. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he, what class? Testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, unholy, evil generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about, say it, 3,000 souls. The first responsibility that the church has, the first responsibility that you have for people is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that I'm a full-time pastor and I'm called to preach, but you also have the responsibility to preach the word of God. People need the Lord. Go, if you would, to chapter number 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. I'll show you another admonition. It's all throughout the book of Acts as the church begins to move through. Here is the admonition that was given. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And so Peter began the preaching. It was continued as the church spread out, preaching the gospel. Go, if you would, to chapter number 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. This was Saul persecuting the church. Upon that persecution, you come to verse number 4. It says they went everywhere, scattered abroad, and were preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of the many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, were lame, were healed. And there was great, what class? joy in this city. So as the church is spreading and they didn't do what God wanted them to do, so God sent persecution to their line. The persecution scattered them out of Jerusalem. And as they went from Jerusalem, everywhere they went preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philip comes down into Samaria, and Philip begins to preach Christ in that city. And the Bible says that people began to receive the Lord. And in verse number 8, it says there was great joy in that city. Hold your hand in chapter number 8. We're coming right back. Go, if you would, please, to chapter 18. Chapter 18, I want you to see a promise that God gave to the Apostle Paul that I think is still appropriate for our day and our time. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. I told you we could use the whole Bible or the whole book of Acts. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much, what class? People in this city. And what was God telling the Apostle Paul? God is telling the Apostle Paul, listen, I don't want you to be afraid. You're going to face some persecution. You're facing some certain things. But I have much people in this city that need to be saved. I'm going to use you because there are people there that still need the Lord. Now, I got news for you. There are still people in Broward County that need Jesus. And God's not finished with our world. Listen, get out your mind of the political scene. The world did not get more wicked just because President Obama, and the world won't be more wicked just because the next person, Democrat or Republican. The world's not more wicked because of a political scene or an economical scene. The world is wicked because men have wicked hearts. That's why it's wicked. It's always been wicked. Read your Bible. There's always been a time where you could look at the world and say, there's no hope. It's all done. It's over. But the Bible is still the Bible. And the Lord comes to Paul and the Lord says, Paul, I have much people in this city. Now, you and I live in a city that is dominated by the world. We live in a city there's citizens from all over the world. And it's very easy to think, well, they've got their way. They've got this. Or the world is wicked. And so on. And so there's no use in even trying. But God still has people he wants to see saved. And that's our responsibility. Do you honestly believe that your neighbor can be saved? Do you think about it? Do you go to work thinking about there's people here that need the Lord? You see, we're so consumed with our own lives and so consumed with the demand and the time and so on and so forth that we've lost sight that God loves people and he has people in this city that need to be saved. I want to show you a truth about people. Look back, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. The Bible says that when Peter or Philip was preaching and they received the preaching and received the Lord, there was great joy in that city. And then the verse number 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. And what's that word, class? Bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So before Philip came to Samaria, Simon had a stranglehold on this city. And Simon was using sorcery and drugs and all kinds of things to bewitch and captivate the people. But God used persecution. And God sent Philip to those bewitched people. Not for Philip to hate those people, but for Philip to go and to preach the gospel. And when those bewitched people by Simon heard of the salvation of Jesus Christ, they were so hurting and empty and broken and lame and messed up that they received, and all of a sudden joy began to spring up in their heart. You and I live in a bewitched community. Just watch Channel 7. Where's my law enforcement? You don't have to raise your hand, but the law enforcement that's located here, they can tell you that our streets are full of bewitching. You turn the television on, we're murdering people every single day, every single night. Our whole community is in a stranglehold by Satan. And it's not time for God's people to say, you're getting what you deserve. You know what? I deserve to go to hell. And so do you. Praise God we didn't get what we deserve. Praise God he knew us, loved us, and saved us. And our verdict is not guilty. But the church needs to understand that the devil has a stranglehold on our community. And instead of developing a hatred or an annoyance or a distancing from people, people ought to be the focus of our lives. And we ought to teach them Christ, that only he can bring joy to their life. Now here's our problem. I got my amen section right here. And the rest of you are doing this number. You're hearing me. You're hearing me, and you love me. Okay. But you're not with me. You're not with me. And I don't know that you believe that Christ can bring joy. Because what you do is you look at your own life. And your own life is so screwed up. You think, I have nothing to share with anybody. Well, I got news for you. That's not Jesus' fault. Because no matter what the circumstance of my life is, there is joy in Jesus Christ. And until the joy of the Lord fills your heart, mind, and soul, you will never care about telling somebody else about that joy. You might do it out of duty, but you don't do it out of delight. And so what has happened? What has happened is the Church of Jesus Christ today has been so mixed by the world, and we've become so worldly, and we've become so materialistically dominated, and we've become so distracted on things and all of these things, that we have not been with our precious Savior the way we should. And the joy of the Lord is not. So now when we leave our house and we go out everywhere, we don't say anything about the Lord. When these people left their house, their lives had been transformed. The power of God was there. And everybody they ran into, they were telling about the Lord, and they wanted to find as many people as they can, not hide behind their little fence. And so we have an opportunity, millions of people. And God says, Plantation Baptist Church, I need you to love people the way I love people. And if you're going to love people the way I love people, then you're going to have to love me with your whole heart. You're going to have to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. You're going to let the Spirit of God lead you. And he says, I want you, I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for a person that will allow me to reach people through them. And buddy, let me tell you something. You want an exciting life, invest your life in the gospel for people. We have a responsibility to preach the Word to people. Chapter 2, verse 44. Not only do we have a responsibility to preach the gospel to people and to witness to people and to be concerned with people, especially these folks that are bewitched and entangled and entrapped and ensnared, we need to open up our eyes. Verse number 44, it says that, and all they that believed, speaking of the Christians and the church, were together and had all things common. I'll explain that in a moment. They sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all men, every man had need. They were loving one another. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the what class? People. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Go, if you would, to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Look, if you would, at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much, say it class, people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much, say it class, people. And the disciples were first called, say it class, Christians, first in Antioch. Go, if you would, to chapter 16 of the book of Acts. Pick up in verse number 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Listen, if our church is going to be having a focus on people, and if we're going to go after people in 2016, and we understand our responsibility to them, our responsibility is to preach the gospel, to teach them, to witness to them. You have that responsibility in your job, in your home, in your family, in your community, in your neighbors. Everywhere you go, you should be consumed with people's souls. Everywhere you go, you should be consumed with people's souls. And then, not only do you have that as a preaching, but we have the responsibility when it comes to people to our practice. What does that mean? That means that you have a responsibility in your life to live the Christian life. You have a responsibility to be a testimony to people. When you read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 16, as that church was moving forward in those communities, those unsaved people were not only hearing the gospel, but they were seeing the gospel in the life of those people. They were seeing how they had been transformed. They were seeing how they loved one another. They were seeing how they were meeting their needs. And they were seeing the light of the Lord Jesus. And it was blowing their mind, and it was attracting people. They had never seen anything like this before. How many in this room were won to Christ out of the living testimony of a friend, neighbor, or loved one, or somebody? You saw Christ in their life, and you wanted what they had. Amen. Amen. So now, you just answer the question for yourself. What do you think of when an unsaved person looks at the church today? What do you think they think? What do they think? I don't know about you, but I want for the testimony of Plantation Baptist Church to be that there's something good different about those people. God is in that place. Those people live what they believe. Those people act out their faith. There's something unique about those people. But let me tell you, the problem is that our lives don't bear up the testimony for people to look and to see Christ in us. When that early church began to spread out into those communities could see a difference. These were bewitched, perplexed communities that now heard the gospel and saw the gospel and said, we want what they have. That ought to be a good testimony of our church. Amen? People. Invest your life in people. People, they're eternal. People, God loves them. People, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Make your way, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 4, and I'll close. Remember how I said it wasn't safe? Wasn't safe as the church spread forth in that world. In Acts chapter 4, they run into persecution. And here's the church's response to that. Look, if you would, at verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all, what? Boldness, they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had, when they did what, class?
Prayed.
The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I want people to become the priority of this church. We can do our plans. We can build our buildings. We can do our special things. But everything that we do needs to fall under the authority of Christ. And it needs to be with the goal of reaching people. People need the Lord. You have the responsibility to preach the gospel. Pastor, that's your job. No, it's not. My job is to preach to you. I am not, now get this, I am not the pastor of the world. I am the pastor of the church. What does that mean, Pastor? That means when you come here, my job is to edify you, preach to you, train you that know the Lord. Amen? Your job is to go into the world and preach the gospel. As Tom Hunter, I have that job too, to go into the world and preach the gospel. With people on our minds, people's lives are destroyed. They're destroyed, man. They need hope. Our lives need to have a practice about them that when people see us, they see Christ in our life. And then we need to pray. We need to pray for the Spirit of God to fill us and that we would have God's power on our lives and that our lives would be captivated by the Holy Spirit of God as He leads, guides, and directs. Pastor, people are dangerous. Yes, they are. People will hurt you. Yes, they will. People will say mean things about you. Yes, they will. People will betray you. Yes, they will. But God loves people. And apart from Jesus Christ, we could do all those things. Amen? So here's what I'm asking God to do. I'm asking God to let Plantation Baptist Church be consumed with people. To have an evangelistic mindset. That everywhere in this community, when we look at somebody, we think, are they saved or are they unsaved? And then, as God opens the door and God prepares us, we can minister to them. It will blow. We couldn't hold all the people. Just imagine if God used you to win one person in 2016. Just look around you. Where would they sit? Who cares? Let's go get them, and then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Amen? All right, one final thing. It's a little bit personal. Don't ask me. Don't come to me and ask me, Pastor, put me somewhere where I can work with people. It's not my job. I got enough to worry about. Here's what I'd like you to do. You need to find your own prayer closet, and you need to fall on your knees, and you need to say, God, I want to be consumed with people. I want to be used by you to reach people. I want to be used by you to affect them for the gospel. Now, God, you got to bring them into my life. Because God has the ability to do that, I don't. And why is that the way the approach is? Because some of you don't have a job. Some of you sit home all day and look at the wall. Some of you have more people than you can shake a stick at. Some of you have difficulties or whatever the case may be. But our God is sovereign God. Amen? So listen to me, senior saints, whom I love. You should be reaching people. Don't get fed up with this younger generation because they wear their pants down by their knees and they have no respect. They need the Lord. Okay, you middle-aged, we used to call them yuppies. Who cares about how successful you are? Who cares how much money you have? Who cares how many homes you have? Who cares what kind of car you drive? You take none of that with you. So begin to be involved in the lives of people. Let me talk to the millennials. Millennials? How do you know if you're a millennial? You got a cell phone? You're a millennial. You're a millennial if you pray to Siri. Hey, Siri, what's my name? Hey, Siri, where am I going today? Hey, Siri, pay this, do this. Hey, Siri, hey, Siri, hey, Siri, hey, Siri, hey, Siri. Let me tell you something. Life is not automated. Automation is killing the church. It's killing your marriage. It's killing your family. It's killing your kids. It's killing your brain. It's killing your evangelism. It is destroying the gospel because we've turned over everything to automation. Now, I'm okay using a tool, but sometimes you got to just walk up to somebody and say, brother, my name is so-and-so, and I love you, and I want to bless you. Can I tell you about Jesus? Well, pastor, I just text them that. Why don't you try praying? Why don't you be filled with the Holy Ghost? And why don't you let God work through you to reach people? Amen. To reach people. I can't do it by myself. I need you to help me. So who's in? Who's in? Shall we pray?